Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Welcome to another edition of the Superflight Podcast. What's up, Mike? What are you up?
Nothing. You asked me.
I said, what's up? You got to get closer to your mic. Just saying.
How often do you say that every episode?
Every episode.
I know.
It is a rare occurrence of a Friday night recording for us. So it's Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah.
We got shit to do. And actually, if anybody's actually listening, the recordings might be a little sporadic for the next couple of weeks because we both have a lot of shit going on.
Yeah. I do want to say that I didn't notice that it was Friday the 13th until I went out into the warehouse area and there was a grown man running around like with a chicken with his head cut off, I swear to God, yelling, "It's Friday the 13th," but meant it, like earnestly meant it.
I like the birds behind your voice, but the window is open again.
Because it's a natural feel like we're in the woods recording.
Yeah. We're actually in the woods. So what's up, Mike? How's things? Rough day?
Yeah, it was long. Whatever. Let's just jump right into basketball.
Let's leave
all that behind us.
Leave it all behind. So a few things I want to get to. I want to get to the playoffs that happened so far. I want to talk about OKC in San Antonio last night. It was an awesome game. I think this is probably going to be a long podcast because I feel like I have
you
a
thought
lot
it was an
say.
Awesome game?
At the end. Actually, for the first... No, it actually wasn't an awesome game, was it?
Uh-uh.
No, it got a little competitive. I'm sorry. I misspoke.
It got competitive for a minute. Yeah.
Well.
Watching, I think they're all going to retire. The big three, anyway.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. I want to get into a little bit of the draft lottery, the upcoming draft lottery on Tuesday, because we're not going to talk until that happens again. Until that actually happens. We won't have talked before it happens.
We can talk a little bit about the draft lottery.
And there's not a whole lot to say except for that I have a huge vested interest in it.
As you can tell
by my...
Sam Hinkie t-shirt.
Right to Ricky Sanchez Sam Hinkie t-shirt, yes.
This is like watching the last days of Howard Hughes.
Oh.
Before he holed up in his Vegas apartment and watched the same movie 2,000 times in a row.
Well, fair enough. So we'll do those two things, and I feel like there was something else. We just both came from work, so we're just doing this by the seat of our pants today. So, playoffs. Oh, before we get to that, in case you guys want to get in touch, you know what? Let me go off in a little, not tangent, but I just want to make an appeal to our audience if anyone's listening. I have no idea if anybody's actually listening or not. So if you are following us on iTunes, please leave a comment or a rating. It doesn't really matter because we're not trying to get popular doing this, but it would be nice to know that we're like talking to somebody. So you can follow us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, which is where I think most of the people follow us at. I don't know. And you can email us at thesuperflightpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow Mike at HammerToeShark and follow me at Joe Borelli on Twitter if you want. Other than that, whatever. So that's that. Let's talk about some playoffs. Hit it. What do you think about... what do you think about the game last night?
I only watched the second half. And by the time I tuned in, it was already a blowout.
Yeah, it did get to be a blowout really fast somehow.
I thought Russell Westbrook looked fantastic.
Sorry.
Really?
Sorry.
Grabbing snacks in the middle of recording. You get on me about not being close enough to the mic.
Want some pretzels, Mike?
Yeah. He had some ice in his veins. He hit a couple threes when the Spurs got close just to keep him down, which I thought was beautiful. But
you know, text conversation with our little group the other night where I was not railing on Westbrook, but like I feel like parts of his game just...
Yeah, I didn't take it as that you were railing when I read it. I took it that you were being critical of the fact that he plays hero ball, which I think
he does play
fair.
Hero ball. Yeah. He plays a lot of hero ball. I think my point was that I really like Westbrook. Everyone does. I think he's an amazing fucking player. Like he's super fast.
Right.
I think his shot is comes and goes. And he takes too many bad shots. Like, he is super willing. I said super again. He's very willing to throw the team on his back, which in a way is amazing. Like, throw the team on your back.
The fact that he can throw it on his back.
The fact that he can is awesome. Yeah. But at times, he does it unnecessarily when there's perfectly good passes he can make to set his team up and make better shots, you know? For instance, the other night when I was texting everyone, he drove to the rim between four guys, and Durant was standing right behind him. He took everyone to the rim with him. They were all going to try and block his shot. All he had to do was make a quick outlet pass behind him to Durant. He was wide open for a three, but he drives to the rim and misses the shot, you know? That was my only point. I mean, I think he's phenomenal. What do you think?
I think he's completely phenomenal. I don't totally disagree with you. I think that's a fair criticism. I also think Durant's been out a lot, and it's just been his team for times. And since he's the primary ball handler, I think at times he just goes in that mode because he can if he's feeling it. I know that he's a historically bad three-point shooter, percentage-wise in terms of volume.
Yeah. And somehow last night he was making all his threes. He made a ridiculous, like, 5 feet behind the three-point line shot.
I do like a player, though, with ice in their veins, and he definitely had that last night. Every time the Spurs got close, which they never really did, I think 11 was the closest they got.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think Westbrook was there to do something to shut him down, including slapping Danny Green in the face.
That's true. Sorry, I'm rustling around here. Well, it's no worse than the birds chirping.
I was glad as a Portland fan that LaMarcus... I mean, I don't want to say I was glad. I actually don't care because I'm not that full of vitriol or hate. But there was a degree of schadenfreude. That LaMarcus didn't make it any farther than the Blazers did in the playoffs.
Isn't that incredible,
him.
Too?
Like, that team was... I mean, I know the Clippers were hurt, but they made it just as far. And they put up a valiant fight against the Warriors.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, but made it to the same way.
They went out. Part. He went out a night after... One night after the Blazers did.
Right. He lasted one night longer.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about your... Because I know you have a take on LaMarcus. We were talking about it last night, I think.
There was the season where he put up good numbers, and I knew he was going towards free agency, and I had to listen to all these pundits talk about how he was the best power forward in the league with Blake Griffin and Kevin Love, and it was a toss-up and a competition. And I wasn't that I don't like him or think he's a great player, because I definitely think both. I do like his game quite a bit, and I think he is a great player. I just don't think he's in the top three in the position in the league, and I still don't think that.
Yeah, it is interesting how he, like, they were such, and I think it's similar of, like, the Spurs were very similar about how, like, the Blazers have been in his entire career. They were there. They were a really good regular season team, and then they get to the playoffs and they wilt. And I think it's interesting how it kind of paralleled the same thing with the Spurs. They were an amazing regular season team. They won the most wins they've ever had in the history of their team in 67. And they got to the playoffs, and we all thought it was going to be them and Golden State. But they didn't do it. No. They wilted. And I think that has...
Here's the comparison, actually. I want to draw back to the Westbrook thing.
Go ahead.
Is that watching that team when they played the Rockets and Lillard hit that shot... It was clear that season that it was becoming the Lillard's team, but that he also had the cliche ice in his veins that Westbrook has.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they're having off nights, you live for those moments, and those moments are what inspire their teammates and what gets underachieving teams farther. Yeah. LaMarcus doesn't have that.
Right.
LaMarcus has more of a show up and put in your work. He has great games every once in a while where he just can't miss. But even then, he's not wearing his heart on his sleeve. And just as a fan, not even analytical or anything else, you want a little bit of passion from the people you're rooting for.
Oh, yeah. It's what made Iverson so popular in Philadelphia. Yeah.
This is one of the rare times I was actually going to go to Iverson, too.
Thank you.
And one of the reasons I was able to watch him, regardless of his massive turnover numbers and low percentages, the fact that he was just out there to fight made it entertaining.
He fought every single night. That was his whole thing, man. He just...
A player you can get behind.
The point about Lillard is that, you know, he'll shoot... And he'll forget. He has no conscience. Westbrook is what I was going to say. But Lillard's basically the same way. You have to have no memory. You have to, like, I could never do that. I think that's
basically a great... I mean, it's not a great strategy because it borders on sociopath at times. But it's not a horrible strategy for life to just get up and do it again.
Do it again?
And forget them. Not forget the mistakes. Learn. But just go at it again.
Absolutely.
Anyway, not to get all...
No, it's fine. I think, you know.
Big scheme of things on you.
It's fine. You know, the Spurs looked really tired to me. They looked really tired, and they looked... And I hate to say it, because everybody's going to say it, but they looked old.
They are old.
They're fucking old.
you were like saying, unnamed pundit said, he heard Tim Duncan's going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, no fucking shit. He's 40. Yeah. It's not exactly a hot take.
he's still younger than us.
If he comes back again where he's not coaching, but as a player. I mean, there was the play last night when the Spurs were turning it around and Tim Duncan got it in the lane. And for a split second, I was watching. I was like, oh, he's going to dunk this bitch. And he went up, and he did not go up. There was no up to the move. And Ibaka came over and was like, sit down, old man.
And blocked his shot, right?
Yeah, he put him to the ground.
That's the shot.
Because he got no lift, and Ibaka went straight up in front of him. It was a flat-handed block. And I think, I don't know if Tim lost his balance or what, but he went down. And I thought, that's not necessarily the way I want to see my heroes go out. Not that Tim Duncan was a hero of mine.
Right.
But a great all-star player, legendary player. You can say legendary because I think a lot of people say legendary in the present tense. I think it's a past tense thing. I think Tim Duncan has reached the state in his career where we can refer to his career as legendary, past tense.
He's a living legend. Yeah, I don't know, something like that.
Are you going to foray into the movie Legend again?
Yes. Hey, it was a good movie when you were 12. It's the only film I actually like Tom Cruise in. Anyway, it's sad because I was thinking in the moment when it happened, when that block happened, I'm like, holy shit. And as soon as I thought it, like everyone said it because everyone was thinking, I was like, this is probably the last Tim Duncan like play I'm ever going to watch. He's getting blocked on his last fucking play of his career. It wasn't his last play.
But I don't even know. It's going to stick in my memory for his total career.
It was like one of his last three plays. If he retires, that's it, you know? Like, that's not really the way you want to go out.
I don't think you can come back unless you just go ice bath for the regular season. Like, take a long 6-month ice bath and then go into the playoffs.
That would be cold. Yeah, I'm being literal. All right, it was stupid. I'm sorry. I might cut that out.
No, don't. I like that sort of stuff.
You love it when I say stupid shit.
This fucker's going to go off the rails anyway. We've been working all day. Now we're drinking after running back so we could get this down real quick.
Damn straight.
Just be okay with it.
I am okay with it. Do you want to... I had a few thoughts about the game last night. So remember how when we talked about... The first time we talked about this series, OKC and San Antonio... I said on the podcast that because San Antonio blew OKC out of the water the very first game, and I said their defense was some of the worst freaking defense I've ever seen in my life.
The first game it was. I was awful. With you 100%. I thought they weren't.
I was so wrong. I never thought that they would get to this level on D. And their defense last night and for the last couple of games has been fucking incredible.
I was, you know, I like Steve Adams, but I was genuinely impressed with Steve Adams in the series.
He was amazing. I was thinking last night, he might be the MVP of this series for them. He did so much for them. He clogged up the paint. He rebounded the shit out of the ball. And he got some putbacks, some huge putbacks. Like last night, the ball dumped, like just bounced off the rim. I forgot who shot it, but he just like went over and everyone and just put it back. That's a huge play. It was like, you know, it's all energy. And he just... Plus, if you hear him talk, he's a Kiwi, so it's always fun.
Well, there's that. I do think pound for pound, and maybe I've said this before on the podcast, I don't know, but I do think pound for pound, OKC has the most talent of any team in the NBA.
Well, we also talked about that, too, last podcast, when I was saying that, like, you mentioned that if Donovan lost this series in a sweep, he should be fired. And I agreed, and I was like, that's because we talked about the age difference in the teams, and I also mentioned that, like, OKC has a way more talented roster. They're younger and way more talented.
I saw a little bit, too, of Eye of the Tiger and Deion Waiters, which was unexpected. He had that Eye of the Tiger moment, and I was like, oh, this dude's buying in.
We also talked about if he'd ever put it together. He may have put it together a little bit less.
I don't know if he's put it together on a whole, but
they can use him. And
seeing him with that little Eye of the Tiger look, and, you know, a lot of the times, like, I would see Kobe do that. I think of Kobe, but there's a lot of players where they would do that, and I'm like, oh, they're putting it on. It looks or feels like an act. In that moment last night, I thought that Deion Waiters looked like he actually was believing.
He looked good, man. Yeah. It's crazy to say. I never thought I'd say that about Deion Waiters. What else have we got? You know, I don't know. Sorry. I try and talk to you and read my notes at the same time. I get a little lost.
Nah, I just went off on a tangent in my mind where I was thinking of the singer Deion and Waiters.
See, you should just say that.
Like they were Deion Waiters. No, it's too old of a wrestler. It's too esoteric and too punny.
It's fine, dude. Oh, I did have this thought at the halftime. Do you ever watch the TNT halftime? Is it TNT?
No, because I do that shit illegally. I get like a French feed and they're talking about French gambling websites.
So do I. And somehow I get the TNT halftime.
I paid for a league package and I don't know why. I didn't read the fine print. You would think for that price they would just give you the playoffs.
Right.
No.
It's only good for the regular season.
Yeah.
How the fuck are you supposed to watch this shit? It makes me so angry, man. Seriously.
What?
That you don't get the playoffs for it.
No, it makes it a little bit of a waste of money. A
little bit of a waste of money.
Like, yeah. I enjoy the regular season. I like catching games. Yeah. It's great to put on.
Yeah.
But everyone knows those games don't matter.
They don't matter. They don't matter. Like, you can see it by the playoffs. Like, teams that we thought were going to be no good are really good, and teams that we thought were going to be great just got knocked out of the playoffs.
Right. You know,
nothing matters in the regular season. I mean, it doesn't matter to the extent that it matters. There's moments.
But between the blackout dates and the no playoffs, it's suspect how much it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it for me because we're on the East Coast and I get to watch Portland.
Yeah, I don't know how you stay up for that.
I don't. I mean, I do.
But you can watch it in replay? Are you meaning you can watch it in
I watched like 10 games
this
season, which is worth it to me. When I was, I grew up in an era where if I got one Blazers game because I had to watch it live on television.
Right.
I had to show up at my house. And this didn't even happen unless the Blazers were in the playoffs until we got cable, which didn't happen until I was a teenager. So I had to show up at my house at the right time to catch maybe two Blazers game a season if they had a good record. I got to watch 10. I've got enough like critical perspective to know that those 10 games are a gift.
There you go.
That's the way I feel about it.
Nice. Here's a gift. Let me say my piece about the TNT. I think it's TNT. Whatever Doug Collins is on.
Yeah.
He's a douche. I still stand by it. He's a douche. You know what he said last night? Here's a quote.
Oh, please. Give me Mark Jackson, Doug Collins, Reggie Miller quotes.
Dude, those are the worst people.
Dude, we should make a calendar of just their quotes, like an inspirational calendar.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
Just those three.
Listen, I don't know any of them personally.
I don't know, but they speak in such generic.
Oh, my God. Cliche after cliche after. Like, yeah. Have you ever had any kind of thought in your head? Not that I'm a brainiac or anything, but. God, I can't take it.
I want to throw this out there, though. Athletes, which all three of them are ex-athletes. Doug Collins was a good player when he was a player.
Yeah.
So you know how there's funny and there's like athlete funny. People talk about that. There's also charisma and athlete charisma. And what passes is like leadership and charisma in the realm of athletes is not what does necessarily in the real world.
Well, I don't know.
And then a lot of those ones who pass as charismatic end up as analysts. It's not like Charles Barkley, who is genuinely real world charismatic.
Yeah, he's really charismatic.
And smart.
Mm-hmm.
Or Kenny Smith, who I don't think is necessarily as charismatic, but very smart.
Right.
Whatever, but like, you know.
I love Kenny Smith.
I like Kenny Smith, too.
Even Shaq. I mean, I've always liked Shaq, but...
Shaq has something.
He has something, for sure. There was a moment there. When he first started on that show, it was hard to watch. But he's gotten a lot better.
He has. I watched that Orlando movie, the 30 for 30 Orlando movie.
Oh, I've never seen a single 30
for 30. He spoke so much better when he was younger.
Weird.
I don't know what happened to him. Like, he just, his tongue swelled for his entire life until he hit 40, and then... Because when he was young, like, as a rookie in the first couple of years in Orlando, yeah, clear as a bell.
That's weird. I don't even think it's a matter of, like, speaking clear or not. I think it's just a matter of, like, your mouth gets lazy or something. It's
no, just like, I think you get so rich at some point, you're just like, fuck it, I ain't even gotta communicate anymore. People gotta communicate with me. Read my thoughts, motherfucker.
Well, tell me about your, speaking of being rich, let's go off on a little tangent. Tell me about your, what happened to you earlier today with somebody driving up in a, I'm setting you up for that little Twitter you should have put out there.
Oh, it doesn't work as a Twitter. No, this is a very New York thing, and it also has to do with the business that we're in on the side. But I was out in a loading bay smoking a cigarette, and it was raining today. And a guy pulls up in a fully trimmed out Tesla. And this guy gets out. He's not much older than me. And I just noticed this as a trend, at least in New York, that the rich guys, like, you have to be rich to have that car. And rich guys like to dress like they're regular guys. And this guy gets out wearing Vans and blue jeans, driving this beautiful Tesla. And I'm looking at the Vans and the blue jeans. He's essentially wearing a similar getup to what I'm wearing. And I was thinking, if I had $1 million, I would not go out that way. I would dress like Mr. Monopoly every single day. Talking top hat, monocle, tails.
Hells yes.
Yeah. And I would have a driver, too. I mean,
and a cane.
At least own your wealth. Don't feel guilty about it and appeal to the everyman.
It might have been funnier earlier, but it's a good story.
Mm.
I like the Mr. Monopoly drop.
I think I told it better the first time. I wasn't expecting you to go there.
Yeah, whatever. You should know by now. I'm going to set you up for these stories. I love them. Anyway,
Do you want to talk a little Warriors Blazers? Just get it out of the way real quick.
Oh, you want to get out of there? Let's do it. Nah, let's do that one next. No, let's do it.
I want to say that I read a lot of what Warriors fans wrote after the series, and I quite like Warriors fans. They were very gracious about it.
Yeah.
They weren't like double birds, anything like that. They were like, it was a good series. You guys played way better than you should have. Like, it was great. You guys put up a good fight. It was super, it was more entertaining than the previous series.
It was the series we were hoping for, and I think it lived up to everything we were hoping for.
It did, to a great degree. Like, Steph came on,
yep.
Hurt came back, Paul Pierce in wheelchair style, if you're not older to remember certain Knicks greats. But I loved it. I loved the series, and I thought Portland put up... They didn't, never stopped trying, and it's what I like about that team.
Yeah.
They don't just throw in the towel. There was a few moments last night with the Spurs where I felt like they were like, yeah, we're done. This game's over.
Well,
I don't think Portland ever gave up. That last game went to overtime.
It's crazy. They were so good. They were so good this season.
Yeah, they're one player away from being real good.
One player away.
I think seriously. I don't want to keep praising Dame Lillard, but I think a lot of it's just his attitude and the underdog thing I was talking about and the underdog market, all of it. I think he likes fighting and being the underdog.
Hell yeah.
He's easy guy to root for.
He thrives in that role, man.
That said, that game where Steph Curry came back, Steph was beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Steph is amazing.
17 points in overtime.
We should also talk about that. Steph, the only, consensus MVP.
Oh, going universal. Oh, yeah, consensus MVP. But also, I think that I can't remember a major player where people didn't just spew something negative every once in a while as you go around and talk about the player.
No, right.
You don't really hear a lot negative about Steph Curry, and even as cynical as I can be, I like Steph Curry. I like his game.
You know what? I got to pause for 1 second. Sorry. Sorry about that. I had to take care of some stuff. Yeah, agreed. You don't hear anybody say anything bad about the Warriors at all, in any respect. They're like the most beloved winning team, I think, in NBA history, possibly. And Curry, man, like, the only thing that I don't, that doesn't resonate with me personally is that he's super religious, which whatever, you are what you are. If you're into religion, that's fine. I'm just saying, like, that's the only like kind of jumping off point that I have with him that I can't feel like
it doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah. Well, it's fine.
Not even, I mean, to it's a degree. Does it bother me?
It's a huge thing in athletics. In
athletics.
Athletics. Yeah.
It's speaking of Monopoly, man, athletics. Are you a Victorian era?
Well,
do you say sport as well?
When I buy Reading, yes.
Instead of sports.
When I buy Reading Railroad and the Electric Company.
Yes.
I'm also going to buy an athletic shop.
Rumor has it religion is quite popular amongst these athletics.
Yes. I like their sport. Yes. Yeah, so I think they're a very beloved team. But I was really impressed by the Blazers. I mean, obviously, they probably wouldn't have gotten there if the Clippers were healthy. And they had some shitty luck, but I'll take it.
Nah, we said it last time. Luck's part of it.
Oh, yeah, it's totally part of it.
Right? Do you want to be stupid for a minute and kind of look at Warriors Thunder at all?
Yeah, let's do it. Hell yeah. You want to make a stupid prediction like everybody does?
Yeah, I was going to say this is where all the stupid stuff seems to come, where we have our opinions about things that haven't happened.
Well, I think so.
Just before we get into it, I do believe one day the moon will attack the earth. Now, whatever I say won't be as dumb as that.
I don't know.
Let's go.
Let's go. All right, Mike, here's let's do our stupid predictions. What do you got? Who do you got?
I have the Warriors. Big and surprise. I'll say six. Okay. I want to say seven.
I'm going to say Warriors in seven. I think.
Really?
I think the Thunder are better than I thought they were.
I think Billy Donovan's better than I thought he was.
That too.
I think that the Thunder are about as good as I thought they should have been.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they should have been this good.
Agreed.
And the fact they're turning on now is nice, because I hope this turns into a 7-game series. I'd like to see a long Warriors-Thunder series. I think that'd be nice.
It would be awesome. The only problem with that is the Cavs are going to sweep whoever it is that wins tonight, or tomorrow night, or whatever night they're playing, the Miami-Toronto series. They're just going to wipe the floor up with them. I keep saying wipe the floor up with them. I don't even know what that means. They're going to sweep that series. It's going to be
thinking of mop the floor.
Oh, that's it. Mop the floor up. Thank you. Can't do cliches. Credit to me. Or not.
You mess with the bull, you're going to get burned.
Listen, man, why don't you make like a bean? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I think the Warriors, though, the Warriors might come in and just handle business, too. I could see it going in 5 or 4 if the Warriors came in and just turned it on, because Spurs are old.
Oh, yeah. What?
Spurs are old.
The Spurs?
The Spurs are old. Like, for a playoff series, the playoffs, there's a lot of running. It's not the regular season. Like, it's way more intense. That age for the Spurs is going to show, right?
The Spurs are done.
I know. So what I'm saying is, follow me. Yeah. Follow me. So the Thunder being a more youthful team of athletics, as you like to say.
Team of athletics.
Yes.
I already have the title for this one.
a more youthful team of athletics that possibly, because it is the playoffs, they have that advantage, right?
Right.
Because it's the constant running, the nonstop. The age is going to wear very quickly when you have a 40-year-old Tim Duncan. Now you're playing against another team that likes to run as well, and they've been in the playoffs. So that sort of advantage, that great advantage, may not be as much of an advantage. And the Warriors were a better team. Do you know the record of the series in the regular season? I'm guessing you don't.
No, I do. I think the Warriors beat them 3-1. Is that right?
I'm not that fast with my fingers.
Fast fingers. Actually, I think they may have swept the series. They played 4 times, right? Or did they only play 3? I'm not sure. I don't think the Warriors. I don't think the Thunder took a game. Don't quote me on that. My memory is awfully flawed.
I don't think they did either, but I'm checking. I'm sorry, I'm slow.
No, it's fine. The
Warriors swept the series. It was 3 games.
Boom. See.
But I am looking forward to the series. I think we're in agreement. I think it might be a shorter series than you do. You're looking at 7. I'm thinking it's going to be between 4 and 6. I still think the Warriors might just come out and stomp them.
They could. They probably could. But this is a part of the podcast like every other podcast and every other person. Other media person. We're not media people, by the way. Makes their stupid predictions and they look really bright.
I also want you to know that the moon attacking the Earth was not a joke. Not on any level was that a joke.
It's going
to
happen.
Yeah. You want to go to the East? You want to travel to the far exotic east of the NBA?
Sure.
Where spices and magic are an everyday occurrence.
You're on fire tonight. We should get you after work more often.
I don't think so. The exotic east of the NBA.
What do you got? Well, I was going to talk about
Miami and the Raptors are on in like five minutes, oh, yeah. Brother.
Well, I'm just going to give you my thoughts for the other night.
Sure.
Do you want my thoughts? Do you want the thoughts?
I would like your thoughts from the other night.
Let me give you a thought from the other night. I don't know. A lot of it had to do with Blink.
Not from the Poetry Dream Journal.
Oh, all right. Damn it. Well, that's it. That's all I got. All right. A lot of it had to do with Dwayne Wade and how he, like, blown right through. Dwayne Wade is still ridiculously sick. I keep saying this every week. We talked about it
last week, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, he can still get in the lane. He changes. You don't realize it until you, like, watch. He's, like, he'll run down, and he can change the speed of the game with his pace. And he still has that second gear that he can just, like, sort of walk up to the lane and then all of a sudden turn on the jets and he's like at the rim. It's insane. I don't know where this Dwayne Wade came from.
Probably Germany.
I was going to say 2010. It's
like the blood platelet splinter, yeah, spinner thing they have. The last game, which really surprised me with their center being out, Mr. Jonas Valanciunas, was that Biombo was a beast.
Oh, Biombo was really good. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, did you see the series they had where he dunked, ran down the other end, blocked Wade's shot, put him to the ground, wagged his finger Mutombo style at him, ran back down the floor, and dunked again?
That's very impressive.
Yeah, it was amazing. I forget where he was drafted, but I don't think he was ever going to live up to that draft stock.
No. Well, didn't... I think Jordan drafted him. Jordan did draft him.
In Charlotte.
Yeah, in like 2010.
He was definitely 11? He was definitely a lottery pick when he came out and played for Charlotte. I didn't think he was ever going to be anything. I thought he possibly lied about his age.
Yeah, yeah. I think he went...
Killing me, Burley.
Yo, bro, we're just friends hanging out, sneezing and shit. I think he went like 11th or something, right?
He went in the lottery, which is top 13. Yeah, so 11th would be about right.
Yeah, all right, cool.
Okay. Are you going to keep that?
Yeah, I'm keeping it. Fucking whatever. Right. It is what it is, man. We are who we are. All we are is all we are.
You're going to be doing some editing, kid.
Yeah, whatever. It's fine. I was going to mention about how Terrence Ross had a really great game last game. He came out of nowhere. I was wondering why the hell he's not starting. Do you know?
I don't. Except for Dwayne Casey trying to be a magician.
Oh, magician, eh?
What do you think?
I don't know. I think they were... I think they brought him off the bench. Here's my theory, because I haven't watched a whole lot of Toronto. I thought they were bringing him off the bench to give the bench some scoring.
That's what I would think, naturally, to be a little punch.
Right.
Terrence Ross from Portland, Oregon, BT Dubs.
Oh, is he? I didn't know that.
Ugh.
whatever.
You know when you say things ironically? This happens all the time. People say things like, BT dubs. And then that one moment when you're like, I just said that shit and it wasn't ironic. Like, I crossed the fucking Rubicon with BT dubs.
I'm suddenly...
That was that moment on air.
Oh my God, I'm actually an asshole.
Yeah, exactly. I just stopped saying it ironically on air. BT dubs.
BT dubs. It's a shame Valanciunas is out, but it actually is a really lucky break for Toronto because so is Whiteside. But we lose as fans because we don't get to see that matchup, but I think it's been a really fun and exciting one.
Right as I was getting very excited about seeing Valanciunas play.
Yeah, I know. He came out. I know we talked right before the series started, too. Or even before the playoffs started, we were talking about how, like, Valanciunas hasn't developed the way we thought he was going to, and he just came out of nowhere. And I love that. I got to tell you, that's one of my single favorite things about watching the playoffs. You have guys come out of nowhere, rookies that shine. And like, man, they were made for this stage.
We were just talking about the Heat rookies.
Exactly. Anderson?
Richardson.
Anderson was on
there. Your boy Justice.
And Justice Winslow, who I loved coming out of. I think everyone loved him coming out of college.
Yeah. He was really nice at Duke. But I was saying that Miami gets a lot of credit for getting these free agents and building these teams. But they also do a really nice job developing talent. And looking at that team with a... Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, and Tyler Johnson. Of course, the white guy's name is Tyler. But they're all really nice young players that you can see developing into great pros. And Riley's done a good job of that over the years, getting talent where he can, kind of in an underrated sense.
You know, and the other thing about it is, like, most people don't talk about it. We rarely talk about it. Like, having really good role players is really important to your team. It's huge to make it anywhere in the playoffs, as we're seeing in the playoffs over and over again. It's not just a matter of finding superstars. It's a matter of finding really damn good role players. Like, Ginobili was super role player coming off the bench for how many years?
Basically his whole career.
His whole career, yeah.
I think he started him early on, but...
You need
like
those guys.
Like, he spot started him, but for the most part, he used him as a role player.
And if you can find that, if you're really good at finding that, if your program is set up to have those guys, man.
Right. Not to go back to the Warriors, but that's one of the things they're great at is that people know their roles.
Totally.
They understand their roles. Even Klay Thompson, who I feel like could be bitching and moaning about how I'm the real star.
He could. He totally could.
And he doesn't. He knows his role.
Even not Draymond, but...
Draymond, too.
Draymond,
Harrison
for sure.
Barnes.
Harrison Barnes is
who was a prodigy
yeah.
coming up in basketball.
I think he was on SI cover when he was, 16?
Maybe. I think probably when he went to UNC.
Yeah. Maybe. And, like, he was going to be the next LeBron coming out of college. Everybody had huge hopes for him. I remember him.
I swear to God, that's who I wanted in that draft.
I remember.
I was like, oh, I want Harrison Barnes. That's the guy I want.
Who did you get in that draft?
Lillard.
Oh. Well, I guess that worked out.
Yeah. I'm, you know.
Worked out okay.
I bat well. I don't bat great.
No. You're good.
I wasn't a believer in the other big one, too, and I think it was the same draft. I wasn't a believer in Drummond coming out of that draft.
I thought Drummond... I had the same thing. I had the same thought I think everyone else did about Drummond. He was either going to be really good or he was going to totally disappear.
Right.
I thought he was going to be really good.
I didn't.
No?
I think he'd average, he barely played in college.
Well, that's the thing. He was so
averaged
young
just
when
a couple
out.
Of points, just sort of like this athletic ghost that no one had really seen. And then he really was that thing.
Yeah.
Which I don't think, I can't remember. Usually that never happens, ever.
I feel like it happens more than we give it credit for. I really do. I think.
What's that dude, the tall African dude in Canada coming down who doesn't want to practice for anybody, but he looks great playing against high school kids?
Oh. I don't even know that guy's
name. Thon Maker.
Oh, Thon Maker.
Have you seen him play?
No. I don't think anyone has.
No, you can watch clips of him playing in high school. No one's seen him play in person in the United States yet.
Yeah. By the way, when we get into actual NBA draft talk, because mm-hmm. we'll probably go there at some point, because it happens in June, and by that time the playoffs will be over, I have got to be honest, I know jack shit about... Like, I'll do... In the summertime, I'll get obsessed with, Draft Express reports and YouTube
shit. We'll
go
deep. We'll go way deep into it.
But up until that point, the only college ball I watch is...
Thon only played high school.
Really?
By the way, he's a G away from being my favorite name in the NBA. thong maker.
Can you imagine what his, think about what his playing music would be every time he comes
out? I already know what it is. Again with the Cisco, but really, again.
My middle name is Cisco. Cutting that right out.
Yeah, no, please. No, I like the awkward silence after it. It's not coming down Sixth Avenue in a cab, to borrow a phrase from Artie Lang.
Yeah, oh, thanks, Artie, you racist piece of shit.
You don't like
that? He's shown himself to be a real, like, yeah, I don't know, man. I think he's a little racist.
Yeah, he's an Italian from North New Jersey. No shit. What
the fuck?
Yeah.
We're in Nam.
Look. We're in this neighborhood.
Yes, we are. We should. So let's. Was there anything else we wanted to talk about the playoffs? What's left? It's just Miami is sitting out.
Cleveland,
I'm sorry,
resting.
Cleveland resting. God damn it!
I think that Love was joking about going to watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I saw that. It was pretty funny. Yeah. I love Game of Thrones. You don't watch it, do you?
I don't give a shit about anything with dragons or wizards in it.
There's no wizards.
Maybe a high but it feels like two. There's wizards. Even if there's not wizards, it feels like there is.
How do you feel about zombies?
I'm indifferent towards zombies. I don't dislike them the way, like, when a wizard comes on, I just immediately stop buying in. Like, a wizard comes on, I'm like, I'm out. I don't give a shit about this. He has carte blanche powers. Enjoy that show. I'm leaving.
Yeah, fair enough. Fine, whatever. It's not as dorky as you think it is. It's not as...
I didn't say it was dorky. I love sci-fi.
That's true. You do love sci-fi.
I'm just saying I'm not into wizards and dragons.
It's not as fantasy as you think it. You love dragons. Shut the fuck up.
Someone's feeling defensive.
Kidding. Cleveland, not Miami. Yeah. Cleveland probably will steamroll Miami if they do happen to make it through this series, which I kind of feel still feel like they will. I feel like they're the better team.
I feel like Miami's the better team. We were talking about the Thunder just being the better team talent-wise, not necessarily coach or anything. Miami is, I think, the better team that should advance to the next round and play Cleveland. But, yeah, I just think Cleveland is still cream of the crop. I'm going to stomp anyone out of the East for the most part.
Yeah, and I didn't think that, like, all the way up until the playoffs. I was thinking that, like, they looked beatable in the regular season. They really did. Excuse me. I thought that, like, anybody could have maybe gave them a run for their money. But, man, since the playoffs started, they have just turned it on.
Yeah. They really have.
That's all about that. You want to talk a little bit about the upcoming draft lottery?
I am not particularly interested in it. But I would like to hear your thoughts about it.
Well, my friend. So, the Sixers have the worst record. I just want to say this. In the 3 years that they've been tanking, this is the first time they've finished with the worst record in the league. They've never been the worst team in the league. Even though people have railed against them for this whole thing. I understand it. I get it.
Just whatever. Because they didn't have the worst record doesn't mean they weren't the worst team.
You shut your mouth. Anyway, this is the first time they actually have the worst record in the league. Mm-hmm. I'm almost certain they're not going to get the number one pick. I'm almost certain they're going to get number four because I'm a Philly fan, and this is just how we think.
Is Philly fan shorthand for pessimist now?
No, yeah. anyway, they have a chance at one and four.
Mm-hmm.
If they get the Lakers pick, if the Lakers fall out of the top three, they could have 1, 4, 24, and 27, I think. They have 24 and 27, so I think it's 24 and 27. They could have 4 first-round picks, and I think they have 1 second-round pick. Maybe, I'm not sure. But anyway, it could be awesome. They could package some things, move around, move up, move down, whatever.
Yeah, are you looking at that boy from the feller from Duke?
Which feller is that?
Ingram?
Oh, yeah. I would love Ingram.
I don't know why I can't recall people's name. Simmons. I don't know.
See, there's
the fall off with a dragon at the third pick. I've been reading some. I've been trying to keep up.
I've only been following as much as Sixers blogs will tell me. Thank you, Liberty Ballers. I mean, we don't have to say much about it, but I think this is a nice time of year for people who have any hope for the world to get better for them.
Your cupcakes are ready.
Thank you. I don't know if that's going to bleed through. You know, I'm hoping that Boston doesn't get a really high pick because they have
a 16% chance of getting the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
Just read an article about Boston, what they're supposed to do.
It kind of sucks for me because I hope Boston and the Lakers both fall, which is going to be like really hard to do. If the Kings somehow jump up and get the number one pick, Sixers get it. Did you know that? Thank you, Sam Hinkie. Just saying. That's all. We can move on.
I don't have anything to say about the lottery.
I know. It's a fun time.
Do you want to go to Barclays and get drunk and yell at whoever the Sixers have that Hinkie was the king?
Yeah, let's do it. Are they doing it at Barclays?
Yeah, it's at Barclays. Dude, I don't know if it's open. I don't know if it's open to the public, but
We should go to one of these.
It's a long walk.
Yeah, whatever. You can still walk it. I walked from your neighborhood home one night.
Are you joking?
No, serious. It was after a band practice I had. It was like, my friend Paul lives pretty close to you.
Mm.
Very near that area. And I had all my gear and everything, and I was like, I was a little drunk. I'm like, I don't feel like getting back on the train. I'm just going to walk.
You weren't a little drunk if you made that walk, kid.
Like an hour and a half later.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
An hour and a half through the best neighborhoods New York City has to offer.
Carrying my guitar and all my pedals and an amp. I think. No, I didn't have my amp with me. Mm. Yeah, it was dumb. It was a little dumb.
Tell me next time you do that, I'll mug you myself.
I deserve it. Yeah. But you can walk. We could ride our bikes there in like 15 minutes. Not a joke.
No, I've ridden it. It takes longer than 15. Anyway, we're off subject. I wrote it the other day after we did the podcast.
How long did it take you?
2.5 days. I almost ran out of water.
I underestimated it a little. I'm sorry.
Slightly.
Anyway, anything else about the NBA? Any more about the playoffs?
I thought it was interesting that Scott Skiles got fired.
Oh, yeah, Skiles. He didn't get fired. He resigned.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He just walked off. Year. Look at the ego on that guy. By the way, just as a slight aside, and I'm not saying nothing, but Joe and I sometimes, it's my own obsession, but Joe, whatever. Illegit. You know what I mean.
He's got a few?
Maybe. I ain't saying nothing. But think of the ego on that guy.
Not for nothing.
Just walking away from it.
Yeah, I mean, well, whatever.
I said earlier in the podcast, I just watched that Orlando 30 for 30, and I hadn't forgotten that he had the record for 30 assists in a game, but I had forgotten that he tried to fight Shaq.
He did?
That's the ego on Scott Skiles.
Jesus.
Shaq came into a practice hungover, and Scott Skiles did not appreciate it and went right at him and took a shot to his side. Direct hard shot from Shaquille O'Neal.
What did Shaquille do?
He hit him.
And that was the end of that.
I mean, those documentaries aren't great. There's a few of them that are really good. That one's not great. But that team was coming up when I was really religiously as a kid following basketball. And so it was very interesting to me, and I enjoyed a lot of the stories. But the Scott Skiles getting fired at the same time played into the Shaquille O'Neal, like, all about it, hubris.
Yeah. I mean, that's everybody in the NBA, man. Like,
I think it has to be if you're going to be a success. Yeah. What did you say about memory?
You have to have none. I don't know. I would tell you, but I have no memory.
The ego of having no memory.
It's true, man. Hey, man, shooter's going to shoot.
True.
That whole thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Just,
there's my one cliche.
All right.
It was maybe a little ill-timed.
I have the last thing about the NBA I want to say is RIP, Little Dame Lil. Thanks for the good season.
I wish you'd pour one out for you, homie.
Yeah.
Pour one out.
Nah. I bought a nice bottle tonight. Next time we're drinking Cole 45, which we still...
Limerita?
Sure. Raspberry.
Raspberry.
He can get some raspberry the next
time. Pour that whole raspberry out.
We'll take a sip.
Take a sip. Pour the rest.
Give the rest of this season.
It was a good season for Portland. I really appreciated having them play in the playoffs and play so hard as a team that no one expected to do anything. Like, I literally heard preseason. What do you call it? Like a guesstimate of what they're going to end up
as? I'll just go off for 1 second about that. None of the East Coast media watches that team. This is why everyone was blown away by the fact that I predicted this. They were going to have a good season. I didn't predict second round, but I predicted. It's also why they thought LaMarcus Aldridge was in the top three. It's not. They get that call wrong. I've watched them do it for 20 years, getting the call wrong on Portland.
That's fair.
It's not that astounding to me. They'll pay attention to a team like Golden State if they make them pay attention. But the media is all of it's based on the East Coast. There's 100% bias. I'm a Pac-12 fan. I've been a West Coast fan my entire life. I've lived out here for 15 years. It's very apparent.
Oh, yeah. You have perspective that I don't, because I've always been here.
Yeah. Well,
no, it's fair.
Not always. You stop by one time, put your feet in the Pacific.
No, I mean, I've always lived here. I haven't lived in the Pacific, but I did. I actually put my feet in the Pacific Ocean.
One of my favorite stories is you going out to the West Coast, and you're kind of like, I don't really want to go to the beach. And I said, you want to put your feet in the Pacific? Just say you did it. And you're like, yeah. And we drove out to the beach in Oregon, went there and you were like, what's that rock? And I was like, that's the Goonies rock. And you were like, Goonies rock! And that's what you were excited about.
Not the Pacific Ocean. No. The Goonies rock.
The Goonies rock.
It's true. I'm still excited. Every time I think about going out to Portland, I think of that fucking rock, man.
The Goonies rock.
The Goonies rock. Yeah. Didn't I yell down, like, down the beach, Goonies?
Yeah, you're pretty hyped on that Goonies rock.
I'm a dipshit. Anyway, as if you needed me to tell you that. Yeah, man.
I'm good. You good?
Yeah. Do you want to do a random wrap up at all?
You got something? I ain't got nothing.
I think you have a little bit of something.
Nah, I got.
Come on, tee it up.
No, I don't.
Tee it up. Little Trump. All right.
I don't have it. I didn't look it up.
All right. Anyway, we're not going to do a random wrap up. It's been a busy week, and we also have a lot going on. So. Mike, it's been fun. If you guys want to, you know what? Please tweet us with questions or corrections or anything. If you want to just tell us we're stupid, that's fine. Tweet at us. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Not me, though.
Yeah, tweet at Mike especially.
I don't like being tweeted at.
At HammerToeShark. You can tweet at me at Joe Borelli. You can email us at thesuperflightpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Google Play, and we might have a website at some point. I don't know. We'll see. It's up in the air. But it's been real. It's been fun. And yeah, Mike, maybe next week. We'll see you later. Goodbye.
Cabela's is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of three Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway.